You're listening to Farming News with the Irish Farmers Journal.
Hello, folks, and you're very welcome back to another episode of the Irish Farmers Journal Farming News Podcast. I'm Noel Barden, and I'll be your host for this week. Joining me on the line, we have news correspondents Rachel Donovan and Anne O'Donoghue. We've quite a lot to cover off over the next 15 minutes or so. We'll have news of a flat rate acres payments for farmers participating in that scheme who've been waiting on delayed payments. We'll have an update on the IFA tractor protests, and we'll hear the latest on a spate of GPS thefts to hit farmers across the country in recent weeks. And before we get into it, we'd like to thank our sponsor, UniVet, for helping make this happen. So first off, Anne, I'll come to you. You had this yesterday. It was on the front page. Details were late to kind of emerge over the week, but it's looking like farmers in acres could be looking at up to €5,000 of a flat rate acres payment to kind of tide them over waiting on their full amount. I suppose, what's the details of this? What do we know so far, or when can farmers expect to get these payments into their accounts?
Yeah, no, I suppose from the farmer's perspective, farmers are going to want to know how much and when. So when Minister Charlie McConlogue has committed and said he's confident that he'll have these paid by the end of February. So you're looking at this stage that within 2 weeks. As you said there, these are going to be flat rate interim payments for farmers. And there's going to be two for the two different streams in acres. So those in the cooperation stream are going to get a flat rate payment of €5,000, and those in the general stream are going to get a flat rate payment of €4,000. And that's in line, Noel, with, I suppose, overall in acres, payments in the cooperation tend to be higher than payments in the general stream. So these payments aren't going to be made through the normal mechanism that acres is paid. Minister Charlie McConlogue has moved to completely bypass the IT system, which it has been reported over the last weeks and months that is causing these delayed payments. And these flat rate interim payments are going to be made directly from the National Exchequer. So they'll come from a completely separate system. And then when farmers do receive their acres payment, the flat rate amount is going to be deducted from that. So that's kind of where we're at with it at the moment. I suppose the bottom line being, it's going to be a flat rate payment. It's kind of stopgap or a compromise to tide farmers over. They'll have it by the end of February, the minister has said, and then it will be deducted when they get their actual acres payment.
Yeah, so there's still a lot of moving parts in this story that we'll definitely have to keep an eye on.
Yeah, and I'm sure further details will emerge as to the logistics of how this is going to happen and how it's going to play out for farmers. And obviously, a lot of farmers will still want to know the end date. When am I going to get my actual payment? I spoke to John Curran, the Irish Farmers Association Rural Development Chair, and he said, from IFA's understanding, it could be the end of May before all of the original acres payments are made. So definitely one to keep abreast of and watch, because there will be more moving parts in this over the next days and weeks.
Yeah, I suppose we would have covered off a lot of missed deadlines there for the acre payments when they were supposed to be paid and commitments given to get them paid by the end of such in a month or another month. But yeah, definitely it seems like the situation is still messy on the department side, trying to get those payments, those scheme applications and everything else through the system to something that will turn out with a farmer check at the end. But at least farmers will be fairly relieved to hear that there will be some money at least on the way. It'll help the cash flow side of things. Sticking with yourself, Anne, you have a fairly comprehensive breakdown of the various county councils around the country as to how they kind of handle farm inspections, particularly when it comes to slurry, and a bit of a breakdown on what kind of fines or penalties were applied as well. I suppose, what are the standout figures, or what were county councils getting back to you? Are they all much the same in terms of the level of inspections that's been done, or I suppose, what do farmers need to know?
Yeah, so Noel, for this story, I asked every county council in the country how many farmers were found to have spread slurry during the closed period for 2023 into 2024. So that's the one that we've just come out of. So altogether, there's 31 local authorities in the country, but I only dealt, obviously, with the county councils, naturally. So that's all the county councils plus Limerick and Waterford, who were classed as city and county councils. So it was an interesting view of the whole country. And there's a map there in the paper on page 8 that kind of illustrates this, of how county councils came back, how many farmers are found to have spread slurry. And it's quite varied across the country. 13 of those 28, that's less than half, found farmers to have spread slurry during the closed period. And then there's kind of some outliers in terms of counties. For example, Kerry was the highest with 9. That's followed by Cavan and Meath with 7 farmers found to have spread slurry. And then Monaghan had 4. Looking up there, I suppose, into Cavan and Monaghan, they're the last to come out of the closed period. So that could be, I suppose, explain that or be a reason for that. Donegal and Leitrim, who are also the last to come out of the closed period there at the start of February, they had 0. But again, mightn't be as many cattle farmers there. So it's interesting to take a look at the map. It's also very interesting, Noel, to look at, I suppose, how different county councils dealt with, you know, incidences of slurry spreading during the closed period. Not all cross-reported every incident, but the majority did. So, for example, Cavan and Meath, they reported all of the incidents they found to the department. And then, for example, Limerick. Limerick is quite an interesting one. If you look on the map there on page 8, if you're reading this week's paper, you'll see Limerick had 0 incidents of, like, they didn't identify any farmers spreading slurry, but they did cross-report 11 farms for having inadequate slurry storage. There's a lot of detail in it. I won't go down through the whole thing because I'll keep you here all day, Noel. And I think you said we were going to try and get in and out in 15 minutes. But there's a lot of detail there going through the different, I suppose, all the different counties. It's interesting to look at your own county and then I suppose some of the actions that were applied.
Yeah, no, when the map is there inside this week's paper, it does make the reading very handy. It breaks it down nicely. And of course, like if nothing else, it's a big reminder to our readers and listeners that you do have your Department of Agriculture schemes, inspections and your inspections for conditionality, which was cross compliance. But county councils as well, they do their own inspections, especially when it comes to water quality and slurry spreading rules, slurry storage and just the general condition of farmyards to all tie into that water quality piece.
I think just important to note as well on this story, a lot of these incidents that were found came from reports. So just for example there, Cork County Council came back and they had 19 reports of slurry spreading and they followed all of those up and they said that there was 12 came back and said they were soiled water, so they couldn't be proven. And then 3 were found to have spread slurry and the rest then there wasn't inadequate information given the report. So I suppose it's important to highlight that to the farm as well, that a lot of these have been reported to the county council. So I think that's just important to note.
And there is definitely a lot of pressure coming on water quality, I suppose. And you have another piece in this week's paper and it ties into the very kind of controversial issue of the use of CPOs for road developments and the construction of roads and that kind of stuff, where farmers could effectively be taken to court and almost be forced to sell out their land. You have a bit in this week on the Adair bypass and kind of what farmers down around Adair are saying. What's the main complaints from farmers involved?
Yeah, so no, I suppose a lot of people listening will be aware of the Adair bypass, more so in terms of, I suppose, getting the town ready for the Ryder Cup in a couple of years. But I suppose from farmers' point of view, it's purely coming down to the CPO and what they're being paid for compensation for their lands being taken. So I suppose speaking to farmers in Adair, the interesting thing for me was, you know, we've heard a lot about the fast tracking of this road and it needs to be done. But from their point of view, they have been in meetings on this for a decade. So they don't see it as a fast track and they think that this, you know, there's been ample time for this to work out for them or for, you know, for them to be properly compensated. So basically their lands were CPO'd on the 1st of November, but they don't have a financial agreement in place yet. However, this week an offer was made and a lot of farmers were quite, I suppose they said they thought it was a very unfair offer. I spoke to one farmer, Gordon Shine, and he said the offer was absolutely ridiculous and that what they were offered, once you paid the tax on it, it wouldn't even replace the land that they're taking. Never mind the fact that to replace the land, it could be 10 kilometres away from your farm. It's not going to be in your block and it doesn't compensate at all for the fact that, you know, farmers farmers' land is being broken up. So I suppose farmers, they're negotiating with Limerick County Council at the moment. And there's an agronomist appointed on behalf of the farmers, and then Limerick City and County Council, have their own negotiators. Limerick City and County Council did say that they're continuing, that the negotiations are continuing, and that in the absence of an agreement being reached, that there is a mechanism open to both the council and the landowners, where this could be determined by an independent third party. But look, farmers there, just when the offers came back, they were, I suppose, important to note as well, it's not just about the offer, they were long awaiting these offers. It's getting a bit technical now, but there's also a goodwill payment. So they've received that goodwill payment, and under the terms of the goodwill payment, you had to submit a claim form. So claiming for, I suppose, the CPO and the amount of land that was taken. That claim form had to be in by 10th of October, and then they should have been made an offer by the 10th of December. So the offer was two months late being made. And most importantly, the farmers have lost their land since the 1st of November, but they still have no financial agreement in place. So however, number of acres, percentage of a farm that was taken, you're not farming that. So that's losing a portion of your income. So I suppose that's where they're coming at with that. And all, it's kind of another developing story. I think we'll have more on it over the next couple of weeks and months. And it'll be interesting to see where things go from here.
Yeah, no, and just when you're explaining it there, when the farmers themselves had the claim forms in and they didn't receive the offer, and when the land has been out of their use for a couple of months and there's still no compensation there apart from the goodwill payment. Yeah, it definitely does sound like they do have very valid concerns. So that is definitely one I'd say that you'll be following up on in a couple of weeks or a couple of months, and hopefully for the farmers involved there is some sort of a resolution found.
Daddy, you won't believe it. The bull calf is better. He's standing up again.
What? Sure, only last night that wee animal was on his last legs. That Sacrolite is a miracle worker.
Sacrolite from Univet, the dietetic breakthrough in electrolyte care for weak or dehydrated calves, and it works fast.
Watch out, son. He's better, all right. Thank you, Sacrolite.
Sacrolite from Univet, caring for calves.
Now, I'll move to yourself, Rachel, so we see on leading page 3 this week, we have news that the IFA could be set to ramp up its tractor protest campaign. I suppose, where exactly will be targeted in these protests, and what are IFA leaders saying on it?
Yeah, so Noel, the news came late Tuesday night that this Enough is Enough campaign is going to continue, and this time round they're going to target county council meetings around the country. So just 2 weeks ago, the IFA held a tractor protest in solidarity with their EU counterparts. And this is, I suppose, the next step in that campaign. And it's, as you could say, ramped up a bit compared to that. That was a relatively peaceful protest, Noel, where tractors went through kind of the main towns of each county IFA branch. And I suppose they only lasted for an hour or so, but this one is set to meet and target county council meetings. As I said, there's lots of frustrations on the ground. The IFA are saying amongst farmers, particularly with acres payments, over regulation. Francie Gorman said that farmers are sick of regulations imposed on them at European, national, and county council level. So I suppose that's the reason that they're targeting county council meetings. There are talks that the protest will go on for a couple of months. That's what we understand. And I suppose the idea is to target them ahead of, you know, local and European elections, which will be taking place. And that's the idea behind this part of the campaign.
And to pull yourself, Rachel, back to page 1 of this week's paper, I think you had a read of Peter Thomas Keaveney's story on a spate of GPS thefts across the country in recent weeks. I suppose, what are the main figures? There's some fairly substantial ones there in terms of the value of GPS units that have been stolen. And what are the main areas that have been targeted so far?
Yeah, this is a really crazy story, Noel. There's €250,000 worth of GPS kit stolen, and I suppose it's taken place in a number of counties, but There was 100,000 of this in Dublin and Meath. But essentially what happened, it all started about 10 days ago, and Cork was actually first targeted. And that was on Friday night, the 2nd of February. Then they moved to Wexford before more of a stealing spree there in Wexford. And then they moved northwards to Dublin and Meath. And that's where 7 farms were targeted, and 100,000 worth of technology was stolen across those 7 farms. And they were actually within a 10 kilometre radius of each other. So really in a very small area, they hit a lot of farms, and they hit both farmers' yards and contractors' yards. I suppose they obviously knew where they were going in doing this. There was more yards in Kilkenny, and then back to Wexford again, where there was 90,000 euros worth of equipment stolen, but overall 250,000 euros stolen, which is a lot of money. Noel, these are expensive pieces of technology. There was kind of a range of tractors targeted: John Deere, New Holland, Case, Valtra, and those were the tractors so far. But there's a meeting being organised in North County Dublin over these tests, and that's to take place on the 1st of March. So hopefully there'll be something come out of that. And essentially what they're looking for is more policing to be done around the area in North County Dublin. It's a joint meeting there between the IFA and Fingal Farmers Group. So hopefully they can get to the bottom of this, and maybe this piece of reporting as well will highlight it a bit more, and it might put an end to it. But yeah, a lot of money gone there, and a lot of farmers and contractors alike in bother over it.
So definitely farmers need to do everything that they can to make sure that they're safe. And finally, Rachel, finishing up with yourself, you have 2 fertilizer stories in the paper this week. One is on prices, and another one is a bit of an update on the database. First off, on prices, what way are prices going? Are they up, down, or sideways?
Yeah, so prices, Noel, are relatively unchanged since I last reported on them. And that's mostly because there's no one buying, so demand is quite slow. And I suppose the weather is a big reason for this. It's putting the major dampener on sales. And Joe, even when you'd be out on the road, you'd see very few fertilizer or lorries delivering fertilizer, you know, around the place. But I suppose, as I said, weather is a big contributing factor to this. And I spoke to a number of merchants and sales reps around the country, and they said, you know, despite farmers never having as little fertilizer stocks in their yard, There's still no demand. But back to the prices, you're talking between 470 to 480 euros a tonne for urea, protected urea. Then you're talking another 50 or 60 euros a tonne on top of that. 18612 is retailing around 500 euros a tonne. And CAN then is ranging kind of between 370 and 380 a tonne. So they're relatively unchanged now. They're still 500 euros a tonne less than they were this time last year. So that's good. And Joe, from speaking to both merchants and sales reps, it doesn't seem to be the price that's the issue that's holding them back. It seems kind of more to be the weather, and they're just kind of, I suppose, maybe waiting to Joe, as all farmers do, to see if there will be another drop in price. But that doesn't seem to be forecasted at the minute. There's talks of it going either way. There's some are telling me that there's talks of it coming down, and then others are hearing from their reps that other farmers are hearing from their sales reps that urea is to go up again. So either way, there's not much movement in the market. Farmers don't seem to be budging too much, but you wouldn't blame them given the weather. And I suppose it's only today in some parts of the country that you can actually spread fertilizer. So basically all zones now from the 15th of February can fertiliser be spread. So it's not a major priority for a lot of farmers at the minute.
And I suppose last year and the year before, we would have seen a bit of an uptick in farmers looking up to the north when prices were so high to buy their fertiliser stocks and take them down if they were able to do deals and loads and that kind of stuff, or club in with a couple of farmers to get a lorry's worth down. And make use of cheaper prices in some cases up there. But this is complicated somewhat this year with the introduction of the National Fertiliser Database. I suppose you had a couple of lines from the Department of Agriculture on compliance with the database, especially when it comes to the imports. I suppose what's the main news there?
Yeah, no, so There actually hasn't been much movement of fertilizer down from the north. You know, I suppose maybe that the fertilizer database has curtailed this and has turned farmers off doing it. But the beauty about the database being in place is that the figures are there and we can see exactly what is being shifted. And since it came into play from the 1st of September last year, just 3,500 tons of fertilizer come in from Northern Ireland. So that's really not a lot. You know, that's a one dairy farmer would be buying it in one go. You know, it's inconsequential, really. But what the department were able to say, based on the figures from the database, was that there was over 1,600 farmers registered as both fertiliser economic operators and professional fertiliser end users. So most farmers, if you're just going to buy your fertiliser off your merchant, you just have to be a professional fertiliser end user. That's what you have to be registered on the database as. And that took place last back end, where you had to be in and you had to have your name down and registered. But what they said was 1,600 farmers were registered as both. So that means that potentially they would be looking to import fertilizer from the north, but they weren't able to say whether these 1,600 farmers did import or not. So they said there was a number of reasons for farmers to be registered as both, and that's to import fertilizer and also to export from farm to farm or transfer from farm to farm. So I suppose you'd imagine that those 1,600 farmers would be considering or leaving their options open there to bring in fertilizer from the north, especially if they're near the border and it makes sense, or their co-op is across the border. But that's where the figures stand. You'd imagine this number would increase significantly once buy-in gets going. And I suppose the nature of the fertilizer game is once a farmer sees his neighbor buying or spreading fertilizer, they'll all jump on the bandwagon. I suppose that is a fear as well, Noel, that I heard from, I suppose, more so manufacturers, is that there has been very little fertilizer shifted so far, and that's both to farmers' yards and to merchants' yards. Merchants, as a result, haven't been looking for fertilizer because they haven't been selling it, so they're not going to build up their stocks too much. So there is kind of a fears of a logistical issues when it comes to getting a lot of fertilizer all out once it hits March and the weather starts picking up and everyone's looking for it. Now, I know that's the story every year, but there's a significantly lower amount of fertilizer on farms this year and in merchants' yards than there has been any other year. So I suppose that's one we'll be keeping an eye on.
Definitely. So there's a couple of different fertilizer stories there in the paper this week, and I suppose it is the time of year for it. And there is lots more in this week's Irish Farmers Journal, which is on shelves now. We'd like to thank our sponsor Univet, and thank all of you, our listeners, for listening in. And don't forget to join us next week on the Irish Farmers Journal Farming News Podcast.
We hope you enjoyed this Irish Farmers Journal podcast. You can find all our podcasts at farmersjournal.ie/podcast and on iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.